Welcome to Growing Your Wealth with Brian Evans and Jeff Shade, a show that simplifies the complexities of investments, taxes, retirement, and more so you can discover how to better sustain yourself and your wealth for years to come. Brian is a CPA with 30 years experience and a financial advisor, which brings a unique perspective to the financial world. This show is brought to you by Madrona Financial and CPAs, home of the Rooted Wealth Plan. Want a retirement plan designed to last 30 plus years? Go to MadronaFinancial.com and click Get Started to see what the Rooted Wealth Plan can do for you. And now, here are your hosts, Brian Evans and Jeff Shade.
Thank you so much. Welcome to Growing Your Wealth with Brian Evans, the show that gives you the straight talk and honest answers you need to help sustain yourself and your wealth for 30 plus years. On today's show, we're going to be discussing the retirement prep checklist, what to do as you get closer to retirement. Also, unintended tax consequences for those not paying attention. My name's Jeff Shade, and as always, I'm just here to ask the questions. But of course, you know the words of wisdom and solid advice. They always come from Brian Evans, CEO and President of Madrona Financial and CPAs. Hey, Brian, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Jeff.
Always glad to hear that, Brian. Certainly, I hope our listeners are doing well today, too. And as always, we have another information-packed show ahead of us here. Brian, you can't really prepare for retirement in your 20s. I mean, you can save in your 20s and your 30s and so forth, but you're not really preparing for retirement. When does it make sense to start really taking action towards your investments and retirement plans, do you think?
Yeah, let's define preparing for your retirement, because part of me says, well, absolutely, I'm preparing for my retirement, but I'm not thinking about, okay, what's my cash flow going to be? What is my strategy for required minimum distributions? Certainly not. But, you know, people ask me all the time, oh, what's the best place to invest your money in your 20s and 30s? And I go, well, it's not the stock market. It's not annuities. It's not DSTs. It's not anything that we put people into. It's your education, your ability to make money over the next 3 or 4 decades. That's the best place to invest your money, which indirectly is retirement planning. If you have a good run of earnings for 30 years, 40 years, I'm pretty sure your retirement has a much better chance of success than somebody that doesn't have significant earnings during that time. And how do you get significant earnings? Well, skill sets that you can market that pay you more than somebody who doesn't have the skill set. So I always say invest in yourself. And then secondarily to that, invest in your first home. You need a place to live, and homes tend to go up in value over the decades. And that's another form of retirement planning, that someday you would own a home that doesn't have a mortgage. If you're renting, you're going to pay that the rest of your life, and they're going to keep raising that rent. So you'll never be free of that. And so that almost is another form of retirement planning. So people in your 20s and 30s, it's a different kind of thought process. But, you know, as we always say on the show, though, when should you start taking actions towards that? Now would be good. It's better than, you know, next week or next year or next, you know, 20 years from now or whatever. Now is always better for planning, I always say. But I do find it curious that even though we're not thinking about specifically, even in our 20s, we're setting the groundwork for a successful retirement.
So, Brian, I think we've determined that it's really never too soon to prepare for a retirement. But statistically, and on average, most 20s and 30-year-old kids, at least the way it was with me, I really wasn't thinking about retirement. And I'm still not retired. I didn't begin to think about retirement till probably I was in my 50s. So let's talk about what someone may think about 10 years out from retirement. Let's say that they want to retire at 65. What should they be thinking about at age 55?
Yeah, I think you're spot on there, Jeff, that the word retirement isn't something that I had in my vocabulary in my 20s and 30s and 40s, you know, that other than talking to it with clients in my 40s. But yeah, 10 years out, many of us start going, oh, okay, I actually know people in my general age bracket that are retiring or thinking about retirement. That becomes a topic of conversation more than it ever had before. I never talked about that playing ball with the, you know, guys that were 25, but, you know, out golfing with guys that are 55, you bet that's a topic conversation. And so 10 years out might be a place where people really start using that word in their everyday life, retirement. And the first thing, what we're kind of have a bullet point approach today is find a financial professional. And I think a lot of people think, well, there are a lot of do-it-yourselfers out there, no question. DIYers, we call them, that say, well, I can figure this out. I bought TurboTax. I have an E-Trade account. I'm good. I don't need any help. And maybe you don't, but I do know that if you're willing to challenge yourself, would you be willing to say that you could walk into, say, somebody's office like my own and put that in front of me, and would you be confident that there's nothing I'd be able to do to help you? Well, I'm guessing if you're listening to the show or have listened to it, you go, no, I'm pretty sure you would find some stuff to help me, because you talk about things on the show I don't even know what they are. You have access to products I don't have access to. You've been a CPA for 40 years. Pretty sure you know some tax stuff I don't know, et cetera, et cetera. So the first thing I would say is, I guess I should correct my own comment, not find a financial professional. Find a financial professional that is good at taxes and has all the different investment options and has all the things that you may need to help you have a successful retirement. But there might be a lot of planning that you can do from that, that financial professional should be someone that can also do financial plans for the future, along with your tax strategies and everything else. You know, go through our book, The 7 Steps on Successful Retirement, talk about the things that we want to talk about with clients. But I think that would be the litmus test. Would you feel comfortable bringing your set of stuff, if you're a DIYer, to my office and feel like I'm not going to come up with anything? And if that's the case, great. You're doing super. But I think most people would say, yeah, Brian probably would find something that could help me. And so that's why I would encourage that.
So finding a vetted financial professional probably is the first thing that you want to do. And of course, vetting that financial professional is going to be really, really important. So 10 years out from retirement, let's say, again, I'm 55 years of age. I want to retire at 65. Is it too soon, 10 years out, to maybe run different types of scenarios? What I mean is, how do you determine whether or not someone can retire at the time that they want to retire or that they think they're going to retire?
Yeah, that's really the big question I think most people have. It's 1 and 1A. Question 1 is, when can I retire? And 1A, what will that retirement look like at various ages? And so running that scenario is not something that even I could do if I didn't have the help of some very sophisticated programs, some very well-trained associates here at work, and having access to all the data and the what-if scenarios and so forth. So when we do those scenarios, they're vitally important to make decisions from. You can't make good decisions with bad data. And so the better the data, the better your decision-making process can be. Like I said, I can't even do that. And I'm pretty smart. I'm pretty good with numbers. I cannot run a financial scenario on an Excel spreadsheet. I cannot do one on a piece of paper, and I can't do one in my head. Now, with the help of, again, our very sophisticated financial planning program and our advisor and assistants here at work, we put those together so that I can sit down and all my advisors can sit down with people that come in and talk about, okay, this is what your numbers most likely will generally look like for the rest of your life. Here's some what ifs. If you retire at the age you told me, this is what it could look like. We might, and very often do, tell you, we could run this 3 years earlier because you have enough assets. Or we might have to tell you some bad news, saying that's not going to work. You can't retire in a year. We need to have a little different plan. Whatever the case may be, I think most people like to know and see that. But I encourage you, if you're doing this on an Excel spreadsheet in your head or on paper, you probably are missing some things. This is very complicated, very hard to do without the sophisticated software that we have.
Brian, 10 years out from retirement, is it important to adjust where you're saving your money in terms of how it relates to taxes?
Yeah, I guess that depends. Do you like paying income taxes more than you needed to or not?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Well, then we have just the thing for you, Jeff.
All right.
We're gonna do some analysis while we do that forward-looking thing as to what kind of tax buckets you will have to draw from during those years in retirement. Our sophisticated program actually computes income taxes in the future. based on adding in required minimum distributions and whether we're drawing from Roth accounts or taxable accounts or qualified accounts. So there's all these different things, that these variables. That's why you can't do it, you know, on a piece of paper. All these different variables. But tax planning is huge to our business. It's why we manage the amount of money we manage, I believe, because most financial advisors that I talk to aren't managing much of a fraction of what Madrona Financial does. But we're all, you know, we all have access to maybe the same products, but they don't have access to a CPA firm like we do. So I would say that's probably our primary differentiator amongst us and other financial advisors out there, is we got, you know, 20 people in our CPA firm that all of our advisors have full access to here. So we can do that analysis on projecting out which tax buckets, what's going to be the most tax efficient strategy. There might be a different strategy in the early years of your retirement before Social Security, pensions, and annuities kick in, versus the later years when they've all kicked in and you have required minimum distributions. And a lot of old people that are taking those are going, well, wait a second, my bracket's higher than it's ever been in my life. Well, that's probably because you didn't do this planning in the 10 years out. We're still in the 10 years out part of this discussion.
Okay, Brian, so that's 10 years out. Let's move to 5 years out. What changes 5 years out?
Yeah, 5 years out, we might start looking at one of the things that's most important to retirees is cash flow. So where's your income going to come from? What's your dividend strategy? Stocks, real estate investment trusts, et cetera. What's your rental income strategy? Are you going to be active landlord in retirement, or are you going to be passive? Maybe you're doing 1031 exchanges into Delaware statutory trust. What's the cash flow from that look like? What about your annuities, pensions, Social Security? All of that factors in. You might also start taking less risk. In your 20s and 30s, you didn't care what the market did. Yeah, it didn't matter. But maybe in your 50s, you remember, oh yeah, there's been some really bad markets for a really long time. I need to make sure that this money that I'm planning on having in retirement will actually be there. And then, of course, we have to figure out the different things money can do for us, you know, growth, security, liquidity, cash flow, and tax savings. And we start often 5 years from retirement. That might be a point in time where we have a change in our priorities as it relates to that.
Okay, so we're going to put a rough plan together. We're also going to start our tax planning, I would imagine, 5 years out. Is it too soon to do that?
Nope. As you know, that was a trick question, wasn't it?
It was a trick question, but I had to ask.
To plan. You had to ask, didn't you?
Never.
Yep. Nope. I would say it's not too soon. And so if you go, oh, gosh darn it, you told me to do that 10 years out and I didn't. Well, okay, let's do it 5 years out, because that's our topic now.
Right,
if it's
right.
5 years out, how about now then? That's the next best time to do.
All right. And then for those airline pilots listening to us, we have made that turn to final. We're on a glide path here. We're looking at 3 years out now from retirement. How should we tackle financial planning 3 years out?
Well, that's where we start pulling it all together, organizing our assets, maybe consolidating accounts. You might have different jobs and IRA, you know, 401ks all over the place. And then, you know, each one you might be looking at individually and going, huh, I don't know how this all works together. And so we need to essentially, again, consolidate and rebalance to your targets, because now we're focusing in on what our target asset allocation mix might be to produce the results we want. You might start looking at getting rid of legacy stock. And with legacy stock, what I mean, certainly depending on where you live, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, this is often an overabundance of Boeing, Microsoft, or Amazon, or Costco, or something like that. Not to say you should buy or not buy those stocks, but you might have too many, it might be, you know, 80% of your portfolio or 60% or something that you're just not going to be comfortable with in retirement. So let's have that discussion. We may want to start thinking about long-term care. Again, that is not something we think about in our 20s and 30s. We're invincible. I never went to the doctor then, but I do now. And so long-term care, we all know people that have struggled with long-term care costs. And that might be some burden we don't want to place on our spouse or our children. And so that's certainly something we would want to talk about too.
Brian, before we continue our conversation, I want to direct my conversation to our listeners. If you're listening to the program today, you are not sure you're on the proper path for retirement, whether you're 10 years out, you're 5 years out, or you're a year out or in retirement. If you're not sure that you're making the right moves, if you're not sure that you're missing something that could cost you, then listen up because I've got some good news for you. Right now, we're opening our phone lines for you to call 833-673-7373 to request your Madrona analysis. That's right. We've opened the phone lines. Even though it is the weekend, you can request your analysis by calling 833-673-7373. Just a casual conversation between you and an advisor at Madrona Financial to ask your questions and get the answers that you need to determine whether or not you're on the right path. Now, you must have at least $500,000 or more of investable assets to qualify, but if you do, we will send you out Brian's book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. So go ahead, make that call this weekend, leave your name and some very basic information. An operator will take that from you, then set you up with an appointment during the coming week or two, whenever it's convenient for you and an advisor at Madrona Financial, to put you on a path towards retirement that could last as long as 30 years. Once again, no cost, no obligation whatsoever for this Madrona analysis. So make that call right now. Make it this weekend, 833-673-7373. And remember, this one call could make all the difference. Okay, Brian, we've talked about retirement planning 10 years out, 5 years out, 3 years out. Now it's just a year away. What should we be concerned with now? What steps should we be taking?
Well, one thing I wanted to comment on is you might want to run a test retirement. Take a very long vacation and see how you feel about that. If you think you're going to golf and be happy every day, golf for a month every day to see if is that really what you want to do. You may find out it was like, wow, that was really fun for 2 weeks. But the next 2 weeks, I was like, oh, I have to go golfing again. You know, it's like I liked my old life where I had work and I had a little bit of golf, a little bit of vacation, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And some people kind of need to understand that because a lot of, especially men, get depressed in the first year of retirement. Mm-hmm. So might take a test run at that. 1 year out, we want to fine tune our plan. And again, if you haven't run a plan, don't stress out too much. Now's a good time to start and run that plan. We want to think about, when do you plan on taking your Social Security? When do you plan on taking your annuities or your pensions? What does that look like, your cash flow? Again, in retirement, many people come to us and say, you know, when we ask them what's the highest priority for you, they often say cash flow. It's above growth and security. It's, you know, in their 20s and 30s, it was always growth. I don't care about cash flow. I have a job. But when you're retired, you don't have a job anymore. You care about cash flow because, you know, that's what you're going to spend to live on. And finally, you want to update your portfolio. You want to make sure you understand your investments, what you're in, some of the investments you don't have access to, and the ones that you do have access to.
Okay, Brian, so we plan for retirement for 10 years. We've taken all the steps. Finally, the big day is here. Ready, set? Yep, we're retiring today. So let's talk about what happens forward from retirement. Okay, we've just retired. What are some of the first things that we should be thinking about?
Well, this is kind of my Goldilocks comment, because some people are too cold with their retirement and they don't even pay attention anymore to their portfolio. Well, we should always be reviewing our portfolio. Others are too hot. They're reviewing their portfolio every day and they're more stressed in retirement than they were working, watching. They're watching CNBC Closing Bell, and then they watch the next show and they watch Kramer, and he's screaming right. And yelling, and they're freaking out about interest rates and things happening in Ukraine and all this stuff. And their quality of life has gone down the toilet because they're worried constantly about their finances. So try and strike a middle ground between too much management of your finances and not enough. And that also goes for your tax planning.
Okay, so we're in retirement. If I'm hearing you correctly, Brian, it's not just a set it and forget it. Retirement is a journey. So I would imagine that you need to make some adjustments along the way.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, that in retirement, some people get depressed because they don't have enough going on. I encourage you to download our book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. And we're also coming up with Dr. Himmer's HowNotToRetire.com.
Right.
Go there. These are can be very important things to consider to help your quality of life in retirement outside of your finances. If your finances are fine, let's help you get your life fine. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but we might have some helpful suggestions as to how to strike that balance between the different parts of your life that are important to you, as well as taking care of your finances so that you don't have to worry about that all the time.
And you're right. Dr. Himmer is going to be with us in about 10 minutes or so to discuss the non-financial side of retirement. His podcast is HowNotToRetire.com. Now, I'm in retirement. We plan for taxes always for the last 10 years or so. But here I am in retirement, Brian, and I'm still concerned about taxes. Should I be?
Well, yeah, I mean, taxes are a weird one, just as well as your finances, because the thing about planning is that's great. We can plan something, but everything that I do changes, certainly the investment markets change every day. And so stocks go up and down, real estate and interest rates and so forth, and opportunities are changing all the time. And what's good 10 years ago may not be as awesome today. So we do have to make a lot of pivots along the way, and that's the monitoring process. Also, along with that, that changes our taxes automatically. It might change our brackets. It might change many different things. The second part of our show, we'll talk a little bit more about the tax ramifications related to that. But these are things that, you know, I have to closely monitor, and my advisors and CPAs have to closely monitor. I can guarantee you, during my 40 years of being a CPA, I've seen the tax law change a lot. Mm-hmm. So I've seen the stock market change a lot, real estate market. Everything I deal with has just absolutely changed many, many times. And so that's the monitoring thing. Hopefully, if you have the right team of advisors and tax and investment, that you feel comfortable that you can turn most of that over to them. And your part in the process will be periodic check-ins, annual reviews, that kind of thing, but that you would feel comfortable that all those things are being monitored and discussed amongst your trusted team of advisors.
And Brian, in our hypothetical situation here, we talked about retiring at age 65. A lot of people retire sooner, and many people retire after that. We've talked about, for example, at 67, 2 years after retirement. But let's look into the future. Let's say that I've been retired for 10 or 15 years. Is retirement planning going to be different now than it was even 2 years after retirement?
Absolutely. I have a lot more discussions. Remember, I said in my 20s and 30s, I never talked about the word retirement with my friends. In my 50s, 60s, yeah, I talk about retirement. In my 70s, 80s, the topic of conversation is going to be more about things like step up in basis, estate right. planning, inheritance, legacy. Those are things that we tend to start thinking about. Grandchildren and college education funding. These are things that we start talking about. So yes, we have pivots throughout our life. It doesn't matter what part of our life we're in. Those are different topics, and those are the ones we talk about more with people those ages. And that's where we can excel in retirement planning, legacy planning, the in-between years, the early years of retirement, the late years of retirement, all that kind of stuff. And even beyond your own living time, because that's where we talk about trusts. That becomes something. Marital trusts, taking care of your spouse, taking care of different generations so that they're not fighting about money. So that's the estate planning part. So all steps in our 7 steps to successful retirement, both while we're on this planet and even after we've passed.
Brian, there are 5 things money can do for you. We have talked about that. They would include cash flow, growth, liquidity, tax savings, but not the least of which is security. Once we get into our twilight years, does security really take center stage more than it has in our retirement journey?
It can, and we would expect that. I think most people would say, well, of course he's going to say yes. But there are times when it doesn't, because I've had this conversation with many clients. They say, well, I'm 90 years old, and am I supposed to be all in cash or something to be secure? I'm like, well, no, you've got significant assets and income that you'll never spend. You're really investing for the next generation. Where's this money going? Oh, it's going to my grandkids. How old are they? They're 40. Well, okay. Really, you have a 40-year-old portfolio. You can take more risk because you're not relying on that. You're not relying on taking any, you'll never take that money out. So we're really investing for the next generation. So, you know, there's different ways to look at it. Everybody has a different situation, different finances, but that can be the outcome of a discussion where I remember one of my favorite clients, he was 101 years old mm-hmm. and he was worried about a stock dropping in value. And I had to chuckle because he had $8 million with me. He wasn't going to spend any of that. But I had that conversation with him, and he says, what do I care what they do? I'm not going to be around that much longer, so I'm just having fun. I'm like, there you go. We're going to go for it. We had an aggressive portfolio with him.
Mm-hmm. Brian, before we wrap up this segment, is there anything that you'd like to add about retirement planning that we haven't talked about?
Just that comment that if you think we can help, it might be a good thing to come in, just because the less mistakes you make, the better your retirement's going to be. So why not get some help now while you're thinking about it, or at least have somebody look at it and determine whether they can help you, us, you know, is hopefully. And I think that that would lead to a better life if you get that right. So bad retirements can happen from people making mistakes. Multiple mistakes can really hurt your retirement. So sometimes coming in, having us look at that can reduce the chance of those mistakes happening and help you have a much better retirement so you can live the life you want to live.
Brad, if our listeners have questions about what we have talked about today, they're not sure that they're on the proper path towards retirement. Maybe they're 10 years, they're 5 years out. Maybe they're already in retirement, and they're just not sure they're on the proper path for a retirement that could last possibly as long as you were working. With longevity these days, we've got some good news for you. And that is, you can call our number today and request your Madrona analysis. That telephone number, 833-673-7373. It's not going to cost you a dime. This is just a conversation. Analysis with a Madrona advisor to put you on a path towards a prosperous retirement. Again, you can make that call this weekend because phone lines are open at 833-673-7373. You must have at least $500,000 or more of investable assets to qualify, but if you do, we'll send you out Brian's book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement. So make that call this weekend and request your Madrona analysis. Again, no cost, no obligation, 833-673-7373. And remember, this one call could make all the difference. Brian, we're going to take a real quick break here. When we come back, we'll be discussing unintended tax consequences for those not paying attention. All that and more when Growing Your Wealth continues. Stay tuned.
Tired of only getting half the story? That's why it's so important to get your financial information from a CPA and an advisor like Brian Evans. Now let's get back to some of the most comprehensive financial information around. You're listening to Growing Your Wealth with Brian Evans.
Welcome back to Growing Your Wealth. I'm Jeff Shade, alongside Brian Evans, CEO and President of Madrona Financial and CPAs. And in just a moment, Brian and I are going to be discussing unintended tax consequences for those not paying attention. But first, we want to invite Dr. Richard Himmer in, one of the partners here at Madrona, to share a few non-financial tips on how to retire emotionally and mentally prepare for retirement. Richard?
Thanks, Jeff. The transition from full-time employment to retirement brings immense change. And while increased free time and freedom are often touted as benefits, there is a risk of boredom. Many retirees struggle to structure their days and weeks meaningfully without the built-in schedule, social connections, and sense of purpose that a career provides. Boredom in retirement can be a lack of purpose or a loss of purpose. When purpose is absent, boredom quickly takes charge. It's important to remember that purpose derives from identity. Without a clear or authentic identity, boy, it's tough to find a good purpose. And without purpose, boredom sets in. Retirement boredom can negatively impact mental, emotional, physical, social, spiritual, and even financial well-being. Common symptoms include a lack of excitement, a loss of motivation, fatigue, changes in eating patterns, sadness or depressed mood, irritability, and feeling lonely or isolated socially. These symptoms arise from deeper challenges retirees face when workplace structure all but disappears. Challenge one is the loss of purpose and meaning. Challenge two is diminished identity and self-regard. Challenge three is disconnection from social circles. Challenge four is decreased cognitive stimulation. Challenge five is a disruption of daily activity. And challenge six is a side effect of a sedentary lifestyle. The good news is that each challenge contributing to boredom has corresponding solutions, which all are covered in our new podcast called HowNotToRetire.com. Strategically filling time with purpose, community, cognitive growth, physical activity, and structured days can alleviate boredom and enhance well-being. It's crucial to recognize when we're triggered, it doesn't mean that we're bound to spiral into a flooded state. Being triggered and being flooded are two different emotional experiences that can significantly impact an individual's mental well-being and behavior. Understanding the distinction between the two can help develop effective coping strategies and maintain emotional equilibrium. When someone is triggered, it means that an internal or external stimulus has activated a strong emotional response, often linked to a past traumatic or distressing experience. Triggers can be subtle, they can be obvious, and they may not always be consciously recognized by the individual. When a husband and wife have been married for a long time, each knows how to push their respective buttons, right? That's called triggering the other person. In contrast, being flooded refers to a more intense and overwhelming emotional experience that can significantly impair an individual's ability to think clearly and regulate behavior. It's the fight, flight, freeze, or faint concept. That's being flooded. Being triggered isn't the same as being flooded. Just because you're triggered is neither good nor bad. It's an awareness that something's going on. It's what you do with the trigger that matters. There's an acronym used in the world of psychology and in the world of addiction recovery called BLASTED, which stands for bored, lonely, stressed, tired, hungry, and depressed. And it can help identify potential triggers or emotional states that increase the risk of engaging in unhealthy behavior. So each letter in BLASTED represents a common emotional state or trigger that can lead to unhealthy behaviors or thought patterns. It's important to regularly check in with yourself and be self-aware so you can identify if you're being triggered by any of these states. Then you can take the proactive steps necessary to manage your emotions and maintain your well-being. So I'm going to go through them real quick so I can reiterate those. Bored. Boredom in retirement is a significant challenge. When you find yourself feeling bored, it's essential to have a list of engaging activities or hobbies you can turn to. This could include learning a new skill, pursuing a passion project, or volunteering in your community. By keeping your mind and body occupied with meaningful pursuits, you can combat boredom and maintain a sense of purpose. 2. Lonely. So B and then L. Loneliness is a common issue among retirees as they experience a loss of social connections that were once provided by the workplace or when their friends were around. To manage feelings of loneliness, make an effort to stay connected with friends and family. Join social clubs or groups that align with your interests, or consider adopting a pet for companionship. Stressed. Stress can arise from various sources in retirement, such as financial concerns or health issues or family obligations. When you notice yourself feeling stressed, practice stress management techniques like deep breathing, meditation, mindfulness, or gentle exercise. Tired. Fatigue can be a sign that you need to prioritize rest and self-care, or just take a nap. Establish a consistent sleep schedule. Create a relaxing bedtime routine called the sacred hours. It's your going to bed system that will promote better sleep. Engage in regular physical activity daily if possible, as exercise helps boost energy levels and improve overall well-being. Hungry. Hunger can affect your mood. Now, hunger and tired together is hangry, because you can get angry when you're hungry. So hunger can affect mood, as you well know, and it can help make impulsive decisions. To maintain stable blood sugar levels and prevent emotional triggers, be mindful and cognitive to eat a balanced meal and snacks throughout the day. And lastly, depressed. Depression's a serious condition that can impact retirees, especially as they navigate significant life changes. Engaging in activities that promote mental well-being, such as exercise, as mentioned, mindfulness, as mentioned, creative pursuits, can also help in managing symptoms of depression. Now, James Clear has a quote that will help us probably bring this together. Whenever there's a gap between your habits and your goals, your habits always win. Now's the time to transform the habits that served you in your productive years into a system that generates energy and opportunities for your bonus life, or what we call the golden years. If you want to learn more about this concept, I invite you to join me in my new podcast adventure called How Not to Retire, A Psychological Approach to a Healthy and Wealthy Retirement, where the time and energy are spent on the accumulation of wealth, not money, because that's Brian's expertise. To listen to the podcast, go to HowNotToRetire.com. There you can subscribe to the podcast, receive a complimentary ebook on the process. You can sign up for Brian's weekly newsletter, and if you're so inclined, you can meet with a financial advisor who's been trained in these areas to discover for yourself how money and wealth are combined into a singular system called retirement planning. That's hownottoretire.com. Remember, don't try harder. Try different. Until next time, may your habits harmonize with your purpose, leading to a life filled with happiness, joy, and well-being.
Thanks, Richard. And for our listeners, you can subscribe to Richard's podcast, HowNotToRetire.com. Brian, let's dive into our last segment, unintended tax consequences for those not paying attention. I just read a story about a guy who got a bill from the IRS the other day saying that he owed thousands and thousands of dollars. The problem was his taxable income crossed a threshold that caused more of his Social Security to be taxed. He didn't even know about that. Are these situations common?
Oh, yeah, extremely common. You know, tax surprises are, you know, I've been doing this a long time. That happens over and over for people that don't plan ahead. A lot of times people are coming to us because of that, that they had a series of circumstances and they got a big surprise. And usually they're like, well, nobody told me about this. I can't believe we let me down. And what, did you bring it to anybody? Well, no. Okay. Well, that's why, you know, we always encourage proactive tax planning as opposed to reactive tax planning. That's the thing about tax planning, is you really can't be reactive. Once things have happened, you can't generally undo them for tax purposes. And so tax planning needs to be proactive to be effective. And so, yeah, there's many situations where different things will affect other things that you're doing because tax brackets come into play. And I wanted to talk about a concept that some people struggle with. There's progressive tax, mm-hmm. and then there's, I'll call it cliff taxation. And so progressive tax means, you know, some people say, oh, no, I'm in the next bracket. I'm going to get killed on taxes. I shouldn't have made that extra $1,000. It just got me $100 into that next bracket. Well, if that's the case, only that $100 is going to be taxed at that next bracket. The rest, it doesn't affect the rest of yours. It's just that marginal bracket. It's just that marginal money gets taxed at the marginal tax bracket. And so we don't have to worry about that so much if we go into the next tax bracket generally. That's the progressive tax part. But sometimes there's cliff things. There might be something that says, oh, all of my capital gains are at zero unless I cross some threshold. And so that might be a case where, oops, I crossed a threshold, and now that might taint the rest of my stuff in my tax return. And so that's where some tax planning can come into play. And you might have a situation where you have multiple, oh, gee, I've had some stock sales, and yeah, I took a couple extra distributions from my IRA, and oh, and I had this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden you're looking at your return going, what is this? I'm being taxed at a higher rate on my Social Security? What? I have Medicare tax surcharges I'm going to pay for an entire year? What? I upped my capital gains bracket, tax bracket? What? My state income taxes went up? And you know, on and on and on. Yeah. All these things can affect you. And so that's why it's good to be in the know. Sometimes you can't avoid it. I get that. But if you can avoid it, it's good to do that tax planning ahead of time.
And Brian, in our example there, we talked about the fellow that crossed a threshold and caused more of his Social Security to be taxed. And you talked about the Medicare premiums being taxed at an additional rate as well, too. What are some of the other additional taxes that you might pay if you cross some important thresholds?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many taxes. You know, there's alternative minimum tax, and there's, again, different brackets. I mean, almost everything on your tax return has, you know, what's my rate on that? Well, it depends. And it depends. There's taxes you don't even see, phasing out of itemized deductions, phasing out of state and local income taxes or state and local sales tax. Those get capped. And so you got caps and limitations and phase outs and brackets and progressive tax and drop offs and this, that, and the other. So there's so much to it. I don't think we have time to go over the tens of thousands of pages of tax code today.
Not necessarily.
But one thing I did want to mention is people are often, oh gosh, no one told me. Yeah. It's like, well, how many financial advisors do you have? Three? And I have a do-it-yourself account. I'm like, well, are they talking to each other? Well, probably not. I didn't tell them about each other. Well, how is anybody going to do tax planning if they don't have access to everything you got going on? And so that becomes a problem. So some people with multiple advisors, that may sound, oh, I got to diversify my advisors. Well, you can pick one advisor that puts you in a diversified portfolio. If they are also a tax advisor, then you can be more confident that you actually are getting some tax planning done. And so having multiple advisors, like I say, probably makes it so that you really can't get a very good tax estimate done, or nobody's really doing that for you.
Brian, let's say that I have inherited an IRA. How does that play into our tax bracket conversation here?
Well, it depends. If I inherit an IRA and my brother inherits an IRA, we're at different tax brackets. So it affected us differently. And I'm just saying a regular qualified IRA. What if he inherited the Roth IRA and I inherited the other IRA and I'm at twice the bracket? Boy, I'm going to get hammered on that and he's not going to pay any tax. I wish they would have reversed that and given him more money in the qualified account and given me the Roth. And so I could avoid my higher bracket in this case. So, you know, there is something to that too. Even inherited assets, you say you love your kids equally, but you leave them the same amount of money and one of them ends up with more money than the other because they don't have as high of a tax bracket. So it's like, well, wait a second, that was an unintended consequence of not planning ahead for that. And I'm not saying you do anything differently in that case, but, you know, inheritance can be another tax planning opportunity. You know, a lot of people don't like to do that. It's like, well, it's not their money anyway. They should be happy with what they get. True. But wouldn't you rather have money go to your kids and grandkids and favorite charities than to the IRS?
Sure.
And so I think most people would say yes. So if that's the case, then some proper tax planning and even thinking about the beneficiaries and what makes sense to leave to whom. And many times tax planning is about leaving money to your spouse, whether it's involving credit shelter trust provisions and to save on estate tax if you're in a state that has that. Oregon and Washington are notorious for taking death taxes, essentially estate taxes, upon someone's death. Other states don't because they have very low exemption amounts relative to other states. And so all of this stuff comes into play and you may be going, wow, there's a lot to unpack there. People should have just been happy inheriting money. I'm sure they are. Yeah. And sad to see you go and all that. But our job here is to make sure that your family keeps as much money intact because of taxes, whether it's you giving them or someone receiving them and then paying taxes on it later. Our job, we're hired to help people retain more of their wealth. That's part of growing your wealth, is not losing it through taxes. So our show is called Growing Your Wealth. We have a CPA firm. It's very important to us. We find it's also very important to people to come talk to us.
Brian, let's say that I'm 72 or older and I'm up against taking required minimum distributions. Can we plan for those RMDs so that they do not cost us more in taxes?
Yeah, so one of the primary methodologies, so it's actually not a methodology, it's a series of steps. But let's say I'm talking to somebody in their early 60s and we're doing that planning. We'll do the financial plan. We'll say, oh, you got a few years here where your income's very low. You're not working, you're not taking Social Security, you're not taking your pension or annuities and all that. And boy, you have a big qualified account. At some point, it's going to be, you're going to have really big required minimum distributions, and that'll put you in a very high bracket, and you'll be having to do that. What if instead we started converting? We started doing regular qualified IRAs to Roth conversions and volunteered some tax at lower brackets. What if we started putting money into universal life policies that could create tax-free income later? What if we took advantage of lower brackets for a period of years, made some capital gains sales, maybe at the zero bracket, maybe at the 15% bracket to avoid the 20, 23.8 or into the 30s with a state income tax, that would be potential. What if we did all this stuff, and then when you became to the point where you're taking required minimum distributions, your amount subject to that is much lower because you moved it into Roth accounts and other accounts, and your tax bill is even lower then. And now you're thinking about, oh, you mean I could, over a course of 20 years, really plan out my brackets and my taxes? Well, yeah, that's what we would attempt to do. I'm not saying we could do it for everybody. But where that's an option, well, wouldn't you like that looked at? So that could be a treasure sitting there that you don't even think about if you had the right sophisticated financial plan done, so that we could, and a CPA along with your financial advisor, or maybe they're the same person, that could do all of that for you.
Brian, studies have shown that probably 50% or more of people will require some sort of long-term care in assisted living or maybe a full-blown nursing home. If someone moves into a full-blown nursing home, should they sell their house or not sell their house so that it doesn't push them into a higher tax bracket?
I love it, Jeff, when you ask me a specific question, I never answer it because I can't.
Okay.
I don't know the situation.
You'd be a good politician.
I'd be a terrible politician, Jeff.
I know. You,
I've been a boss for too many
You would make
years.
Too much sense.
I might well that, too.
Yeah.
Common sense in politics. Well, I won't go there.
Okay.
But it does give me an opportunity to talk about, you can't answer, but what can you say? Well, I can say in some situations, House sale does make sense because of the personal residence exemption that may be available to you. Because sometimes people said, well, yeah, I'm buying another house, and what are you doing? And I'll ask, what are you doing with the old one? And we're going to rent it out for about 4 years and then sell it. I'm like, really? So you're going to just volunteer to give up your $500,000 exemption from tax because you sold it more than 2 years after you moved out? And they're like, what? I didn't think about that. I'm like, well, $500,000 at 20%, it's $100,000. You're going to volunteer $100,000 to IRS? I was like, that doesn't make any sense. So we can do the same scenario with someone moving into a nursing home. Maybe their spouse passed away and they're still subject to the $500,000 exclusion. Maybe there's a $250,000 exclusion. Maybe there's not anymore. So that's a different discussion point too, where they don't want to sell it because maybe their life expectancy isn't very long and they want to instead opt for the step up in basis and get a full step up so that nobody ever pays the income tax if they still own the house upon their passing. So again, a simple question you asked, but not only can I not answer it, but then I went to that next step and made it really complicated because of all the what if scenarios. But wouldn't we like to just focus on your particular scenario, have that discussion, and sometimes people hire us for that reason. It wouldn't be maybe that person going to the nursing home, but it might be someone in your family, your extended family, that you would like access, and you can't just ask that question. Like I said, I couldn't answer it, could I?
No.
Because I didn't know you. I don't
exactly
know who this person is asking the question. I can answer it, though, if they're my client and I know their situation. I can gather all the necessary data. So a lot of people just like knowing that we're on retainer for those kinds of questions. If someone's using our financial planning services, our investment services, and they say, can I ask you a question about my parents or my aunt or my kids or whatever? Absolutely. That's part of the deal. You have full access to our advice. It can extend to family members. That's stuff we love to do. That's why we do what we do. So we're more than happy to help answer questions related to that.
Well, Brian, based on our conversation, I'm sure that our listeners have some questions here about our topic, which is unintended tax consequences for those not paying attention. If that's you, we've opened the phone lines for you this weekend, so you can give us a call and request your no-cost, no-obligation Madrona analysis. Again, this conversation is not going to cost you a dime. That number to call, 833-673-7373. You're not sure whether or not you could be bumped into another tax bracket? You need some answers right now. Well, you can get it by calling this number right now, 833-673-7373. Be sure to ask for your Madrona analysis. Now, all you've got to do when you call that number this weekend is give your name, some very basic information, and that'll get back to an advisor at Madrona Financial who will give you a call back and set up a conversation for you at your convenience to get your questions answered. Now, you must have at least $500,000 or more of investable assets to qualify, but if you do, we will send you out Brian's book, 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement, as a bonus. So what are you waiting for? Make that call this weekend while you're thinking about it, because phone lines are open right now, and they'll be open all weekend long. 833-673-7373. And remember, this one call could make all the difference. Okay, Brian, let's talk more about unintended tax consequences. Do people have assets that they don't want to touch or sell because they're afraid of paying too many taxes on that? And does that affect their overall quality of life?
Yeah, that's a lot of what we do. In fact, as people have listened to my show before know, I talk a lot about a landlord's exit strategy, for instance. Most older people that I know that own real estate still own it because of the taxes. They don't want to pay a massive tax bill. They bought the property a long time ago. It went way up in value. And what they did pay for it, they've taken depreciation deductions on it to where they have almost no basis left in that real estate. So almost all of the proceeds would be taxed. And they don't want to pay that tax. And so our 1031 exchanges into passive real estate, being the Delaware Statutory Trust investments, allows them to defer that tax and potentially potentially eliminate that permanently by taking advantage of the step-up in basis someday when they pass. And so that can be, the tax handcuffs, we call them here, is where you're handcuffed into owning something because you don't know what to do because of the underlying need to not have to pay so much in income tax. We definitely have done a lot of that in the real estate area. Another area where that comes into play is a business. Some people don't want to sell a business because they have virtually, I started it in my garage. I have no cost basis. $10 I paid for this chair and this desk or whatever. So they don't have any cost basis. And so all of it's taxable as gain. And they want a strategy for, well, if I were to sell this thing, first off, I want to get top dollar. So that's one part of the strategy where we'd work probably with a business broker, valuation, all that kind of stuff. And the second strategy is, how do I bifurcate my sale to take advantage of tax treatment and lower brackets or no brackets or whatever? And what are the methodologies and products I need to use to get there? So that would be where we are brought in as part of the planning process. Because if people want to sell their business and it has no basis or very low basis, again, they don't want to pay a lot of tax, and that may be preventing them from living the life they want to live because they're worried about the taxes. Well, what if we had a solution for that and they felt comfortable with that and could move on? And finally, there can be a concentrated stock position where somebody says, all my assets are in Microsoft, we'll use an example, or some other stock. And they're saying, well, I can't sell this. I'll get hammered. Well, there might be a method of distribution. We might be able to produce income off of that. We have programs for that where you can basically lend your stocks to a financial institution and receive income from that while they're lent out. There's strategies around that. There's marginal bracket strategies, as we do your tax planning. We do charitable trusts where you donate your stock, it's sold, and you don't pay any income tax on that, and you get a tax deduction for the present value of your gift and so forth. So there's so much to do related to that. But yeah, the tax handcuff, if you feel handcuffed because of taxation, I can't think of a better call to make than to us at Madrona Financial and CPAs
right.
That we can help you with figure out what are your options, what do they look like, and maybe that could be a life-changing call for you. It has been to a lot of our clients, I believe, especially on the landlord side. We've done close to $200 million of 1031 exchanges as a landlord exit strategy, and the exit strategy is to exit into a strategy of life that's better for them than being a landlord.
And that telephone number to call, by the way, 833-673-7373. If you're interested in our conversation right now, 833-673-7373. And again, we have opened the phone lines for you right now. Brian, if I'm hearing you correctly, you were talking about the bifurcation of the sale. If you do have a business, I mean, there's going to be real estate, there's going to be capital assets and so forth. So if I'm hearing you correctly, the source of income will affect the amount of tax that you pay on things. And that is one of the ways that you can help people.
Oh, absolutely. You might say, well, what do you mean? Isn't there just a business sale tax rate? I'm like, no, not at all. You've got inventory, accounts receivable, they call them hot assets. You got, you may have cash in a pass-through that doesn't have any tax on it. If your sale is the business itself, you might have goodwill, an intangible asset, or maybe you're selling the components of a business. You got 1245 recapture, 1231, different recapture rates. They have different tax brackets associated with them. Capital gains. And then the real estate part can be subject to the 1031 exchanges and the Delaware Statutory Trust, which is a good thing. The goodwill component could be accessible. Both you could access opportunity zone investments, which can have some positive tax treatment. So, I could do this all day long and confuse the entire world. But rather than do that, I'll just say there are a lot of components to a business sale that need some proper planning. And the one thing that I would hope someone who owns a business would take from that ridiculous display of many different tax treatments, that if your team of advisors doesn't know what I just said, then maybe, you might want to add us to your team of advisors.
Well, Brian, we're out of time for this week. I want to thank you for your time, but most of all, I want to thank our listeners for joining us. For Brian Evans, I'm Jeff Shade. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next week right here with another edition of Growing Your Wealth.
No statements made during the Growing Your Wealth show should constitute tax, legal, or accounting advice. You should consult your own legal or tax professional on your own individual information. Brian Evans and Madrona Financial Services is licensed to offer investment advisory services through Madrona Financial Services, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Insurance products are offered through Madrona Insurance Services, LLC, a licensed insurance agency and an affiliate of Madrona Financial Services. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investors cannot invest directly into indexes. No investment strategy, including asset allocation and diversification, guarantees a profit or guarantees the avoidance of loss. Financial planning is an important tool that does not guarantee specific outcomes. DST investments are only available to accredited investors and offered solely through the issuer's offering documents. The DST sponsor determines whether to accept any individual subscription documents. Madrona Financial and CPAs is a registered trade name used singly and collectively for the affiliate entities. Madrona Financial Services, LLC, Madrona and Bauer Evans, Inc., P.C., Bauer Evans. Investment advisory services are provided through Madrona. CPA services are provided through Bauer Evans.